This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Tech Talk. It's the first Thursday of the month, and Karmjit Singh from Digital News Asia is here. Good to be seeing you again, Karmjit.
Thank you.
And of course, hot news, new Magic CEO announced soon, right? And it's already announced. What do you mean announced soon?
Who has announced it?
Huh?
Who has announced it?
I read about it.
You read about it? Where?
Yeah. DNA.
DNA, la, no, but it's not been officially announced. La, so.
Ashraf Ghazi, serial yeah. entrepreneur. Yes, and he's been on BFM before.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Jute Ventures.
There you go. Yes,
right.
Yes,
so
yes.
Tell me more about this young man.
Yeah, I think, okay, young. I think he's in, he was obviously, he's a DNA Digirati 50 or so from the pioneer batch, not the current one, but he's a serial entrepreneur. So, and that's good. And he's actually been a serial entrepreneur in mostly the tech space. But he's also been, he also runs MyNEF, which is my, you know, which used to be called NEF, is New Economy Foundation. I think I may have the F, not maybe not foundation, but it's a new economy something, yeah?
Okay.
And NEF. So
Frontier.
Frontier, there you go, maybe Frontier. So he's the president, right? And that helps build up entrepreneur capabilities, right? And trying to make them into sustainable entrepreneurs. And a lot of what he does is actually using technology as a tool. Now, you know, the reason why the government wanted somebody else to run Magic or so, they wanted it to focus on its earlier original mission of helping all entrepreneurs. So he's obviously, while very familiar with the tech space, can also, you know, is now going to be tasked with, you know, building up the non-tech verticals. Now, I don't know what verticals he's going to focus on initially, because you obviously got construction, you know, you've got plantations also, you've got manufacturing. These would be the three big ones which are crying out for, you know, a better way, a more efficient way for them, you know, for the entrepreneurs there to run their businesses. So he may just come in and focus on those. I don't know.
New Entrepreneur Forum.
Yeah. Oh, it's Forum. The F is for not foundation. Yeah. Okay. Didn't sound right. Thank you, Frida, for doing the instant validation that I was wrong. But so he's going to come in.
It feels good.
It feels good. Huh? Because it's super rare. It happens super rare. Okay, anyway, let's not get the US because we don't have much time. So he's coming in now, and I think people are comforted on the one hand because he's an entrepreneur, a known entrepreneur in the ecosystem. He's a risk taker. You know, doing Jute was, I thought, was incredibly risky, you know, to try to build a social kind of platform, you know, focusing on the Muslim diaspora ecosystem. It's tough because they're all already happy with existing products out there. But you don't know, right, until you try. And he actually managed to convince someone. He raised money from that too. Now, I don't know how Jute is doing now, but I haven't heard much of it. And I think they're probably struggling to gain traction. I could be wrong. They may be doing really well by wanting to stay under the radar. And suddenly you hear that, you know, Facebook has bought them. You know, you never know. But that's it. So he's a clear, proven risk taker, and he's done various entrepreneur things. He came into my radar in 2008 because he then wanted to launch a startup called AsiaTube.tv. And he declared to me, you know, Karam, I want to bring internet TV to the masses in Asia. I said, wow, that's a big ask, right? Ask, I think, sorry, ASK, that's a big ask. Okay, so anyway, carry on with that. So he's a risk taker and he's very familiar with the ecosystem. I'm repeating myself now. So the challenges for him is that, and very valid. So in within, so what Magic has done so well because they're focusing on the startup space. And they also brought in people, right? Cheryl Yeo, the former CEO, brought in people, selling them on the vision that we want to help the startup, the tech ecosystem. So you've got people who are passionate and committed and are familiar with that ecosystem coming in. Those are the people in there right now. So now Ashraf has got a wider mandate. The current people, there's concerns that they don't have the skill set and the expertise, you know, to craft programs around those areas. So he's going to immediately need to come in and boost up the headcount, actually, to bring in the right people to help in the other areas too. And also, maybe morale is a little bit low because they haven't had CEO for a while, right? There's been a vacuum for 3 months, and there's this constant speculation who's coming in. And unfortunately, during that time, I found out also that some mid-level managers have left because good talent is hard to find, and people are familiar with them, so they've left to do other things. And that leaves a gap to carry on running with your existing, you know, startup and tech-based programs. Because as he comes in now, he's expected to maintain the momentum that Magic has in the tech space, startup space, and create similar momentum in other verticals. So he's going to just have his plate full. And, you know, he's a bit on the... He's not a big guy, but, you know, I think you're going to see him lose weight pretty fast once he comes to the hot seat and has to manage all these things, right?
It's interesting. I mean, I'll also be, because the last time we spoke to them was in 2013. It'd be interesting to see how, you know, how Jute Ventures were doing. I mean, for him to qualify for the role as the CEO of Magic, right?
I mean, I think it's not so good question. So it's not really, the criteria was not just on what Jute does, because they like the fact that he's been involved in overall other ecosystem stuff, right? And that's why they come in. Now, there'll be concerns out there that, you know, because he also was, I think, in charge of Bhatra that happened last year. That was a Bumiputra focused entrepreneur event.
Yes.
And my NEF, you know, when it launched also was to help promote, you know, entrepreneurship among Bumiputra. So people may say, is Magic going to skew and become Bumiputra centric? And I don't think so. I think naturally when you help some of these other verticals, like especially if you go into agriculture, the vast majority of entrepreneurs there are Bumiputra. So that's just a natural consequence of the vertical you focus on. But I don't think he will say this is our clear shift now, because Magic has been super successful because it appeals to all Malaysians, right?
Startup, and social enterprise.
And I've actually had Bumiputra entrepreneurs tell me that they also worry that they hopes that the Magic agenda doesn't skew towards a Bumiputra one, because then you're going to lose the steam and interest of all Malaysians. And I don't think they're going to do
okay,
that.
Okay, I can imagine, you know, of course, you know, looking at other verticals, you know, you can't boil the ocean. You probably want to look at one or two verticals, right, and then focus on that. And then, you know, move on to other verticals, because otherwise you're going to be boiling the ocean. What else will you do? And I think previously the idea with technology, the focus on technology and startups was, it doesn't matter what industry you are, but technology was the enabler
to
whatever it is. So let's see, you know, I mean, whether you know, that's still going to continue to be a focus. When you focus on other verticals, whether technology is still going to be the enabler for these things
will,
as well.
It cannot, you cannot separate it. It's,
you can't.
It's absolutely,
right.
You know, you cannot. So it will be an enabler for all this, but, you know, it'll look good to the government that now there's a non-tech. Let me not keep repeating some other vertical, because he may have other ideas, and I don't want people to say, oh, is Magic going to focus on this vertical?
We're just talking here, right?
It's in a non-tech space, there will be some areas he's going to focus on, and he will have to start small, because you build up the team size first, right? And then create programs. And actually, within Magic, one concern I heard was interesting, that they hope he doesn't go out and do the big flash, you know, big bang events, which generate buzz leading up to the event and during the event, and there's no sustainability after. Because Magic has proven through the way it has crafted this program that you must do a very hand-holding, detailed, you know, targeted programs, because those are the ones that have an impact, lasting impact after the program, and those give you measurable results. So that kind of template is set, which is beautiful. So I think Ashran will probably try to, follow
and,
that.
And what do you call it? Expand on that.
Expand. So the expectations are high. It's really a hot seat, you know, big shoes to fill. So let's see. But I'm...
Big heels to
big
fill.
Big heels. Okay, not big shoes. Big heels, size 25 heels. Because the NBA, you know, player I met, you know, not I met that, I showed a cast of his foot. So yeah, so, you know, I think it's a good selection as CEO. Let's see what he does to live up to expectations.
Okay. All right. And then, so let's move on to talking about a startup that is, along with Grab, considered the two most valuable internet companies in Southeast Asia. Yeah. And Malaysia now has an interest in this company thanks to Khazanah.
Yes.
So how so, and who's the company?
Yeah. So this was announced last week by the company itself. Khazanah never makes these announcements itself ever. It's up to the company to make an announcement. This is Garena Interactive. It started out as an... you're laughing, Fred. I got that little joke we had aside. Yeah. So, but there's, you know, $170 million is absolutely no joke. It's a huge amount of money, which collectively now Garena has raised around $500 million. It gives them a huge MO, right? So basically, they started as a gaming company with the founder, Forrest Lee, back in 2009. It's a Singapore national, but he used Singapore as the base for him to build his regional, you know,
Asian-based.
It's a Malaysian
national.
Forrest Lee? No, he's
a Singapore national, you said.
No, he's a Chinese national. A Chinese national, but he used Singapore as, Forrest Lee, as the base, you know, to launch his regional company. So, you know, 7 years later now, right? Look at that. Look at what is built. So, you know, with all these companies, numbers are obviously not audited, so we don't know. They claim these numbers. But they claim to have 28 million gamers on their platform, you know, on a monthly basis. And, you know, there's a lot going on there. So what they did at some point was they wanted to branch out and monetize this core group that they have beyond just gaming, because a lot of these people are digital natives, correct? And you said they're going to be doing shopping, they're going to be, you know, needing to make payments. So let's create, you know, different products that will cater for their needs. So that's what happened with them. They've launched this. So they're trying to become a platform play also, which for investors, they love to hear. Because if you become a platform play, you're talking about multiple billion, you know, a US dollar company. So, which is why Khazanah has come in at this stage with the Series D, I think they call it. They raised, you know, 170 million. And Khazanah, by the way, is the lead investor, yeah?
I don't know. Wouldn't be the first investment in gaming for...
I think Khazanah, it will be. I think it is their first investment that I know of, yeah, in gaming. Because earlier, I think last year, they invested in a travel search engine called Skyscanner. Mm-hmm. And then I think this month, in very early March, I think March 1st, a virtual reality startup in the Silicon Valley announced a round of funding also with Khazanah as an investor. That was called Blipper. Mm-hmm. So they are in this space. So I think this is interesting. So Khazanah as the lead investor early, you're asking me, I think, you know, what does it mean to be a lead investor? So if you become the lead investor, it means that you've put in the single largest amount of money. Let's say there were three other investors, 170 million divided by three is like, let's say, 40 plus million, right? Each, 55 million each. But that means that that's if each put the same amount. But Khazanah would have put the single largest sum. So maybe Khazanah had put in 65 million US. As the lead investor, that means that you get to dictate the term sheet, the terms and conditions, you know, that you sign with the startup, in this case, Garena. As in milestones met before money is released, you know, when is money released, how is it released, what are the, you know, metrics you have to, you know, we want to hold you against, you know, so that kind of stuff. So then the other two or three investors just follow and tag along with Khazanah.
I was just reading here, okay, that apart from their online gaming platform, yep, they've also expanded into other online businesses like Shopee.
Yes, so those are the two verticals. I say payment, they've done Shopee. Shopee is actually a C2C, it's a marketplace, right? It's consumer to consumer marketplace.
And AirPay, yeah?
AirPay is their version of maybe, you know, Alipay, right? And I think one of the senior executives used Alibaba as an example, right? How they've gone into other verticals also, and even Tencent, how they've gone into other verticals. So this is a payment product. I think what's interesting about Alipay is that it allows you to go to a physical outlet, exchange your cash in return for digital currency that you can use on your platform. And that immediately then will remind some of your more savvy listeners, readers, viewers, you know, of MOL.
You're on every platform.
I'm on every platform. Yeah, I'm confused myself.
Okay.
So that's you can use it. MOL does that too, right? They've got, you can go to a 7-Eleven, uh-huh, and you can use your cash, and then you get digital currency that you can use on their platform then.
Okay.
So they're trying to just create more stickiness. And actually, one interesting thing is that the president of Garena said that in terms of headcount, they've got like 4,000 headcount across the region now, which is significant, right, for an e-commerce company to have that many
huge
people. That was really surprising. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of people that you need. But, you know, they're growing 4,006 to be specific, right? But it's across the greater Southeast Asian region. Sorry, again?
That's 170 million there.
Yeah, exactly. Not really. It's an Asian cost base. They're in Taiwan, you know, I think they're in Hong Kong also, and they're in a couple of countries in Southeast Asia. But it's interesting. So they use a metric. So because what they announced was that their annualized merchant run rate for Shopee, you know, if you count it over 1 year, will be 350 million US dollars, you know. That's the amount of value of merchandise sold.
Okay, so people can read the article, right?
The article actually comes out tomorrow. So this is a bit of a scoop for DNA. For BFM.
Tell you.
Some of these numbers, very interesting, because
you want to hold back some of the information so people read
and
it
because
tomorrow.
Because you're able to quote the president of Garena himself, so fantastic piece.
Okay, so
excited about writing that later.
Just saying Digital News Asia, he'll still be here.
Still be here.
After this, Tech Talk, BFM 89.9. No, it's still Tech Talk. The Breakfast Group replay will be just a little later. This is what happens when Karimjit Singh from Digital News Asia talks too much.
Create too much disruption.
Now, you also have a story on Carousell. This is Frida Liu, by the way, on Carousell, a startup that's facing competition from over 500 million funded Garena.
Yeah.
So how will they compete?
I think so. Carousell is actually, by the way, one of the founders of Carousell is a Malaysian who studied in Singapore. So you've got three founders, and don't ask me his name, I forgot his name. But they launched actually in 2012, was launched. And they've raised so far, Frida, $6.8 million. Sounds like a lot, but suddenly you've got a competitor like Shopee there, you know, whose parent is Garena, you know, mega funded. So it is going to be interesting to see how they go. And actually, when Shopee launched, they said that their value proposition is better than their competitors out there. And of course, one of the competitors is Carousel. So we coincidentally, Carousel has got a new VP of International, who is a former head of Southeast Asia for Airbnb. So interesting that they got in a guy of that caliber in. So he had a press conference, I think, yesterday, and talking what they plan to do. But what stood out from the article is that he said they're not going to be raising any more money. They have enough for now. And typically, startups, you know, when you've gained some traction in your user base and you've raised money, you want to try to keep raising more money if you can. Although you dilute shares, but because you become more valuable, you give up the next tranche of shares at a smaller, you know, at a higher valuation, so smaller number of shares. Mm-hmm. They're saying they don't want to raise any more money now. So 6.8 million looks like a lot for a Southeast Asia focused play, although they're also in Taiwan also, these guys. But they were in Malaysia since early in 2014. And he said they've grown year on year 200% annual growth in terms of users and listings. They're not giving a GMV, an amount of the value amount for all the products being sold on the platform, whereas Garena does. So you can look at that number only on DNA when the article comes out. So it's hard to judge how much traction they have. But he says that in Malaysia, they've got 3 million active listings, which is a huge amount, 3 million active listings. So we're going to see how they go with that. But when they launched 2 years ago, they only had one person in Malaysia helping to do marketing. So I said, you know, you've only got one person and you've raised, you know, $6 million. To me, it kind of didn't make sense. It didn't show that they were serious about Malaysia. It said one person is enough on the ground. Of course, you're an internet company. You don't need to be based in Malaysia to promote your products, you know. But I thought, it signified they weren't really serious about Malaysia. But it says they're doing well in Malaysia now. And they've also launched a web platform. Yeah, although it's still very much a mobile play, a mobile-first platform, they've launched a web platform also, which is just another layer for them to acquire users. Their big challenge, aside from all this rhetoric, is we've got Shopee there. And very, very interesting about Carousel is that an investor in their round that they raised $6 million is Rakuten. Rakuten has indicated that they're going to come out and they're going to maybe launch a consumer-to-consumer, you know, service in Southeast Asia too. All of a sudden, you have the spectra of your investor launching a product that competes directly with you, which is incredible. I've not seen it happen in this region before. If Rakuten does do that, I won't say Shopee's in trouble, but they're going to be facing a huge amount of competition from very, very well-funded competitors. Now, of course, Chia, being, you know, in this space, says he puts a positive spin on it. He says, look, competition coming into the same space just validates our model. Mm. Now, business model-wise, it's interesting. He said they are still in the scale-up phase. They're trying to acquire users. So they are not yet monetizing their products. So there's no revenue at this point because they're still in the pre-revenue stage. Whereas Shopee has launched and they already have their business model is two-pronged. It's listings. And where you know, when you pay for listings, so you rank higher when somebody searches for, let's say, yellow and black polka dot dress, right? And then suddenly, and you pay for a listing, you're going to be appearing there first. And then you also can pay, and they're going to take advertising. So anytime they see someone advertising, looking a lot for you know, women's clothes, then, you know, your ads will appear there. So that's what these guys are doing. They're competing against Shopee. They've got this stage now where they're trying to gain further traction. They claim they have. But once, you know, Shopee is already here, and you've got Rakuten likely to come in, so this space is going to be very interesting. And let's not forget the incumbent, right? The gorilla in this space in Malaysia, at least, is Muda.my. They've been entrenched for a super long time. I know a lot of people use Muda. So it's going to be interesting to see who wins in this space. It's a very crowded space. Going to be a very well-funded companies in terms of Muda, and you've got, you know, a Shopee, and you're going to have Rakuten coming in. Mm. For consumers, it just means more platforms that you can choose from, and consumers have got no loyalty to platforms. Right. They'll choose the platform they find the best to use, the easiest to use. So it's going to be a very interesting space for those who like to sell used stuff.
Right. And there's another startup story, and of course, this one we're all familiar, iFlix, right?
Yes.
Because we know the scene. So what's the story here?
So basically, they're trying, so just like Shopee and just like Carousel, they're trying to get embedded into the user psyche further. Even with iFlix also, they want to launch original shows because you obviously have seen it work in with Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix.
So they say that it's, and according to, you know, the Malaysian CEO who's very well known, right?
Azran.
To all Malaysians, right? You know, Azran Osman Rani. He's the group chief operating officer. So, and I think he's also CEO for Malaysia. But he says that they want to bring in, you know, just want to create their own content to increase their stickiness. And it's going to be local content because iFlix and Netflix have shown that, you know, local content works very well. Of course, their local content is in US based, but they're going out there. You know, they've got funding that they've raised recently from you know B Sky, right?
Yep.
From Rupert Murdoch, another one of his companies. Lots of things going on in this space, and like I said, I'm not going to talk too much about this. Just that the key thing is that they're going to create local content. For content providers out there, fantastic, right? For creative people, you've got another company that's wanting to fund production, high-quality production, so the budgets will be larger. It'll be exciting to see what's the first product that they come up with, you know?
Mm.
Whether it'll be a Malay language product or whether it'll be
a global,
Malaysian, yeah.
Or very global kind of feel.
I don't think so. I think because Patrick, when with Netflix coming, he said, look, local content is very important in this kind of video plays. You have a mix of international content. Local content is also the key. Mm. So I think that you're going to see them focusing on a local play. The production, you know, will be a Malaysian-centric play.
All right. So now,
and then they've been doing an Indonesian-centric play. So I got the Indonesia, right? Thailand.
Okay. And speaking of which, we're speaking to an Indonesian story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So wow. Good.
So I think
good segue.
Yeah, man. That was smoothly done as usual. So basically, this is I think they're just saying the government there is saying that look, you know, startups have had a free ride with hands-off approach, letting them do what they want. But I think maybe it was not the catalyst of the taxi drivers,
yeah.
You know, and the bus drivers
the
having that
driver.
Public demonstration
yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Okay,
it was probably coming up, but they're now saying that a regulation is coming, and you know this, this is the Patrick Walujo, who's the head of startup and technology development for the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce. Mm. So the Chamber of Commerce, of course, most of all its members are brick and mortar companies, right? So they're saying that, look, you know, we're all on the same page about fostering more startups, but they need to be aware that they're not going to get a free ticket forever. So, and the government will eventually put in regulations to make sure startups have their rights and that they serve the country as well. So I don't know what you mean by startups have their rights, but that they serve the country as well. And he was speaking at the 2-day Echelon Indonesia, right?
Mm.
Organized by E27. So we'll see how that goes. But the spectre of regulation, of course, entrepreneur-led companies always don't like the spectre of regulation because regulation can be well-meaning but misguided and could be heavy-handed and could slow you down.
I think at the end of the day, if it's very clear about how are you serving the people, right? And then work around that.
Yeah.
And not let bureaucracy. I mean, of course, you need processes, you need systems,
you
everything.
Need,
but at the end of the day, are you hampering the people, the public?
Yeah.
Right? That's your duty as a government as well.
Yeah, correct.
Right?
I think in this case, in Malaysia, there was news yesterday or last week that the Companies Commission of Malaysia, you know, they want to start, you have to apply, at least to become an enterprise if you want to sell anything online.
Mm.
So that means even if you want to sell your used yellow polka dot dress, you will first need to register as an enterprise because they want to track the transaction. They say they want to do it for the sake of clamping down on security issues. I think that's a very, very small case. The real thing is they don't want to tax people.
Mm.
Say, hey, you sold some 200 ringgit worth of products, so we want to bring it down.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's coming. Indonesia and in Malaysia too.
And just read up on great things on Digital News Asia. Everything there is got to be on your reading list. Just
sit down there.
Okay. And just spend the whole day reading.
Yeah, especially the piece on the CGP by Ronuka, one of our current Digirati 50s.
Check that out.
Fantastic article.
Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia Tech Talk BFM 89.9.
Chakaday.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.